Take our Bibles this morning and join me over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What beautiful singing we've had this morning, and all of that singing pointed to the very fact, the very truth that I want to talk about today, and that is the reality that we are a new creation in Christ. You know, when we stop and we think about what makes people do such as yesterday, as we looked at our day of Operation Inasmuch, as we blitzed the community of Summerfield and Oak Ridge and Stokesdale, as we went out with the gospel, why would so many people give of a whole day and of their financial resources, and so many people gave so much of their time leading up to the event? Why? Because not only are we a new creation in Christ, but because we're a new creation, we desire for others to know the Savior that made such a radical difference in our life. Today I want to point to that very truth as we look at it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's begin reading with verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14 says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Let us pray. Our Father, we do come before you this morning. How grateful we are for the day that you've given. And Father, as we stop and we think about a new creation, how grateful we are for that new birth. And I pray for the one here who may not know you as personal Savior, the one that has never understood the reality of the new birth. Would you draw that one to yourself today? Father, we lift up before you today, the one who may be struggling in their walk with you. Would you bring that one into a right relationship? Be glorified, be honored in all that is said and done in this service, and we pray it in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Recently, an article came out in a magazine, and in this article, the title of the article was "Change or Die." And I don't know about you, but an article like that gets my attention, and so I decided what I needed to change in order to live. And as you looked at this article, it was about heart care. And it was about the number of people in America that have heart bypass surgery or some type of heart procedure. Now, I'm not even going to ask for a show of hands this morning, but I dare say we have one or two here this morning that has had some type of heart procedure in their life. And listen to just a paragraph out of this article. It said, "What if you were given a choice? What if a well-informed, trusted authority figure said you had to make a difficult and enduring changes in the way you think and act? If you don't, your time will soon end, a lot sooner than it should. Could you change when it really mattered?" You know, you stop and you think about that and you think, okay, wait a minute. A trusted figure, someone I have confidence in, comes to me and says, "You need to make changes, and if you will make those changes, your life will be extended." Well, of course I'll change. Do you realize that national statistics and the averages come out that one in nine of people that undergo heart procedures actually make changes to their lifestyle? Permanent, lasting changes. One in nine. That means 8 out of 9 people that have some sort of heart procedure within 12 months revert back to their way of life before the heart procedure was performed. Now, when we stop and we think about that, we understand that the reason the heart procedure was performed and the things that they encourage us to do and the things that we should do is for our health. But yet we do not make those. Well, not only those just facing heart procedures, but many people that understand that they must watch their weight, they must exercise, there's other things they must do in their life in order to prolong their life here on this earth. But yet we don't do those things. We don't do the things that we should. Now, when we stop and we look at that, we understand the reality of what we're faced with when we look at change or die. Well, this morning, as important as it is for me to say to you, change or die, in a temporal sense, in a physical sense, this morning I have a much more important statement to make with you, and that is spiritually, change or die. You see, the reality is either you accept the free gift of the Lord Jesus Christ and you become a new creation in him, or you reject that and you face an eternal death. As we realize that this morning, we must look at what's going on. You see, we understand the importance of this statement, but yet we do nothing about it. We always want the shortcut. How many times in America do we see that? If you don't believe that people in America are looking for the shortcut, all you have to do is turn the TV on. Absolutely every infomercial you see. Spend 5 minutes a day doing this and you will lose 500 pounds. Come on. Take this pill. All you have to do is take this pill, eat whatever you want to eat, and the pounds will melt off. Listen, if you're falling for that and you're buying those, give me $1,000 and I'm going to tell you a secret afterwards how to lose weight, okay? The reality is the weight will not fall off. The weight will not melt away unless you eat correctly and exercise, all right? But we look for the shortcut. We don't want to do it the hard way. We don't want to do it the right way. But yet the world will tell us there's always a shortcut, there's always an easy way, there's always a way around the established way. The most beautiful verse that Paul pens here in the Corinthians, as we look at, and there's so many that we could choose from, and we understand that, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 is one of the most beautiful verses of Scripture, because he simply says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new." You see, when we stop and we read that verse, we understand the Apostle Paul, as he penned these words, he understood what it meant to be an old creation and a new creation. As I stand before you today, I understand what it means to be an old creation and a new creation. All of you sitting here, or most of you sitting here today, rather, can say, I understand what the old life and the new life, I understand the difference that Christ makes. And there are no shortcuts. There is no other way. You cannot work your way, earn your way, or deserve your way into eternal life. It is only through Christ Jesus that eternal life comes. Now, with that truth, let me give you just a couple of things this morning in the time that we have that you need to hold on to, and we need to realize and understand when it comes to this new creation. Number one, when you're a new creation in Christ, you have a new position. You have a new position. Verse 14 gives us a very interesting truth as we look at this, because it tells us, for the love of Christ compels us, thus we judge that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that all who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Now, as we stop and we look at those words, we realize that what he's doing is he's painting a picture of us, for us, of the death of Christ. And so he's making the same point that Paul makes in Romans chapter 6. Now, in Romans chapter 6, we find an explanation of this very text. And let me read just a few verses to you out of Romans 6, because it's extremely important that we realize this morning that we have a new position in Christ. We are an old man that has been redeemed and made into a new man. That's the new creation. Listen to what he says in Romans 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. You see, when we stop and we read those words this morning, we understand a most beautiful truth, that in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we too have new life. We have eternal life through that price that Christ paid on the cross of Calvary, not because of what I did, not because of what you did, not because of what any individual did, but because of what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. We are a new creation in him. What a beautiful statement Paul said to the church at Galatia in Galatians 2 and verse 20, that he has been crucified with Christ. We have died with him. If we have died with him in baptism, we identify with him, and then we are resurrected in the newness of life. You see, today we need to understand that we have a new position in Christ. When people die physically, there are only one of two destinations. There is absolutely not option number three. You see, the reality is the Word of God tells us, for the wages of sin is death. That simply means a rejection of Jesus Christ brings about death and the consequence in our life. The wages of sin is death. But that verse goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. You see, what we find here are the two definitions, the two destinations. One is death, one is eternal life. What a beautiful picture that we find painted there in Romans 6:23. What a reality that we understand about our position in Christ. You see, the Bible tells us in John chapter 14 in verse 6, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. It's not one of the ways, part of the truth, or some of the life. He is the only way, the only truth, the only life. When we stop and we understand that truth today, we know that our position is secure in Christ this morning. You see, as we understand the reality, you say, well, Richard, how do I do that? How do I go from where I'm at to where I need to be? In John chapter 3, we find a similar question being asked. Nicodemus, the scriptures tell us, a ruler of the Jews, a very learned man in religion, but he had no relationship. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ by night, the scripture says, and he says, now, great teacher, master, how do I understand what you've been talking about? Jesus Christ made a very simple statement to a very religious man. Nicodemus knew everything there was to know about religion, but he knew nothing about relationship. And Jesus Christ said to him, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You see, the reality today is what I come before you is a very simple message, and it's a very simple statement. How do we have our new position in Christ? You must be born again. How did you come to be sitting here this morning? How did you come to the age you're at today and to find yourself sitting and hearing the gospel message presented today? Because you were born the first time. There's no other way that you could be here. And so that first birth brings about physical life. That second birth, that rebirth, brings about spiritual life. It is a truth taught throughout Scripture and a truth that we understand. It is a new position because of who Christ is. In Christ, you are a new creation. You see, as we look at verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. It is extremely important today that you understand this is not remodeled. You are not in Christ a remodeled person. You are not just redone a little bit. You are not rebuilt in Christ. You are a new creation. You see, the truth of the matter is you can remodel something and you can do everything right in the remodel, and it's still not the same as new. It's just not the same. And so this is what he tells us. I'm so thankful that he doesn't say that he just rebuilds me. The word that is used there for creation, it's extremely important that we realize that. It is the exact same word transliterated over from the Hebrew, in the beginning God created. Paul has made a selection and a use of a word that specifically means to make anew, to make fresh. You see, the reality is the day you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are literally a new creation in Christ. We talk about birthdays, and we talk about these earthly birthdays that we have, and you know, those are all great and wonderful, but you know, the birthday that counts is that spiritual birthday, that day that you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So the first thing we understand today is because of Christ, you are in a new position. Second of all, not only are you in a new position, but because of Christ, you have a new personality. You see, as we understand this, notice what the next thing he tells us in verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Now, we understand that there is a great battle that goes back and forth as we look at this idea that old things have passed away. And sometimes people misunderstand this, and they come to the idea that once they become a believer in Jesus Christ, that never again are they going to do battle with that old nature. Word of God, that was true. We all still do battle with that old nature. And Paul talks about that in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans. The Apostle Paul talks about that old nature and that battle. And he says, you know, those things that I don't want to do, I do those things. And those things that I want to do, I just I don't do those things. You see, that's that battle between that old man and that new man. I believe that we could go around the room this morning and all of us could give testimonies to that battle that rages within us, that battle that shows within us. Sometimes when we get tired, when we get weary, we get frustrated that old man shows himself a little more than all the other times. But the truth is, we all have that battle that goes back and forth within us. But we are a new creation once we accept Him and once we make Him the Lord of our life. Now, please make sure this morning that as you leave here, you never misunderstand or use the idea that salvation is just a renovation. It is never just a renovation. It is a new creation. You see, why is that important? Because in that new creation, I'm given a new personality. I'm given a new definition of who I am and what I am in Christ. As we stop and we look at and we see what's going on, we need to realize that because of our relationship to Christ and because we become a new creation, there should be a difference in one that claims the name of Jesus Christ. I've had this happen my whole ministry, and prior to that, as I would share my faith, and someone says, well, if I accept Christ, do I have to? And they say, give this up or give that up. Do I have to change this or change that? And my answer is always the same. Listen, when you receive Jesus Christ, you don't have to give anything up. You know why you don't have to give anything up? You'll want to give things up in your life. You will not want things in your life that are not pleasing to God. You will not want things in your life that are foreign, that do not belong there. You see, the truth of the matter is, you become a new creation in Christ. I know many of you are maybe in the same boat I am, but I've got something in my thumb right here, and I've got something in my hand right here, and we're not going to use it as an object lesson, so don't worry, I'm not going to make you come by and look, but I've got something I picked up at the beach a couple of years in my thumb right there, and it's just made a home there, and it's festered over. You say, well, why don't you take it out? It doesn't hurt. Why would I want to hurt and take it out? So I'm not going to do that. I've got a rock in my hand right there. And you say, well, why don't you take it out? Again, it doesn't hurt. Why do I care? But the reality is, the little rock in my hand and the little whatever that is in my thumb, they're foreign. And because they don't belong in my body, there's hard spots there. My body has formed a protection, if you will, around that, sealed it off from the rest of my body. It's still there, and it's not going away, but it's not part of who I am. You see, the reality is, that's the best way I can describe to you what it means to be a new creation in Christ. All that old sin nature's still there, but yet the Spirit of God forms that protection around that, and it doesn't define who you are. Every now and then my thumb will hurt, and every now and then my hand will hurt just a little bit. You know what? It reminds me that foreign object is there, but it doesn't control who I am or what I do. And that is exactly what we need to realize today. That old nature's there. That old nature does battle. That old nature rears itself up. For me personally, the way it reveals itself seems to be most often, and that is sometimes with a temper. Things can happen, and I just sort of say it or go off or make a comment. You see, that's the reality of that old nature, that battle that goes back and forth, that struggle of that old man, that new man. But the truth is, I'm a new creation in Christ. You see, it produces a new personality. This new thing is so true, because as we stop and we realize what it does, there's a couple of things that happens when we have a new personality in Christ. There's some things we view differently. Number one, we view our relationship with Christ differently. You see, that new personality causes you to realize what Christ did for you on the cross of Calvary. That new personality causes you to understand that through grace you have been saved by faith, not of yourselves, not of works. There's nothing to boast, nothing to brag about. As we stop and we realize what Christ has done for us and we see what a difference Christ has made in our life, that new creation has a new understanding of who Christ is and what Christ has done. You see, prior to receiving Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, Christ was a figure in Scripture. But prior to receiving Christ in my life as a Savior, He was just a person that was part of a lot of stories I heard growing up. But when Christ became my Savior and the Lord of my life, then there was a difference in my understanding, my view, my knowledge of who Christ was. He then became not just someone people talked about, but he became my Redeemer, my Savior, the one that made me a new creation. Well, not only do we have this new view of Christ, but being a new personality in Christ also gives us a different view of people. Absolutely gives us a different view of people. You see, as we stop and we realize today that what Christ has done in our life, and we understand today where we could be and what we could be in the middle of and what could be happening in our life, but yet because of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we have a different view. You see, the last thing we need to do and the last thing we need to find ourselves in the middle of is sitting in our house of judgment and find ourselves condemning and looking down and not expressing love and care and compassion. I did not say okaying sin and saying sin's all right. No, that's not what God calls us to do. But very much speaking the truth in love, very much living, very much understanding and reaching out to a community. I will tell you, it was just yesterday. Why would, again, over 200 people come out and give so much of their time and so much of themselves and work so hard and labor so much for people they don't even know simply because they have a new personality, because it's what Christ had done in their life. They had a new view of Christ and they understood a new view of people. You see, today we need to understand the importance of that new personality. And there's a third thing. Not only do we understand that we have this position and we have this personality, but we have a new position in Christ, a new potential in Christ. Notice the last part of verse 17. All things have become new. You see, when I stop and I understand that, then we need to realize that our old values, our old ideas, our old plans, our old loves, our old desires, all of those things pass away. And there's a whole new potential in life. There's a whole new focus. There's a whole new understanding of what takes place. It's very interesting because when you look at the Greek construction and you see how this was written in the original Greek, when it says all things have become, that word, that Greek perfect tense of the Greek verb there translated over have become, it literally indicates this was a past act with continuing action. You know what that means? From the time that your new birth, from the time you became a new creation, there was a difference made in your life, and that action continues. It doesn't go away. What a wonderful promise in the Word of God, and what a great truth that we find in what He tells us and how He points to us. Our potential, all that we are, changes. You see, the problem is frustration comes and aggravation comes and we get angry, we let the flesh win, we let the flesh take over when we start trying to do it our way and our power, the way we want to do it, and then we see Christ exalted and we understand that our potential is found in Him when we get out of the way and we truly let Christ shine and we let Christ be exalted. In Christ, you have this potential. In Christ, when Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, he meant exactly what he said. You see, yesterday I watched as people were passing out tracts and sharing their faith that probably don't do that every day. I watched as people were working in yards and laboring that probably don't do that every day. We witnessed as so many people came out to do so much. What an awesome difference. And the reason we do that and the reason we understood what God was doing is because that potential of what God can do in someone's life. You know, so often we talk about rehabilitation and we talk about changing people and we talk about making a difference. Well, listen, there's only one difference that can truly be made. Only Jesus Christ can honestly and truly change an individual, can change a person. And when we realize the truth of that statement and we realize that we must introduce people to Christ because through Christ a difference can be made in their life and through Christ a change that can be made that cannot be made in any other way. I read an article of a gentleman that had one of these heart bypasses that we talked about at the beginning. And as he went in for his heart bypass, he asked the doctor, he said, Doctor, are you going to be able to fix my heart? Well, the doctor was a man of few words, and he looked at the gentleman, he said, absolutely, walked out of the room. few minutes went by, or a few days rather went by, and just before the surgery, and as they were getting ready to go into surgery, and he asked again, "Doc, are you going to be able to fix my heart?" The doctor looked at him and said, "Absolutely." And that's the last thing he remembered. As they got ready to go for the hospital, his wife asked the doctor, she said, understanding all that took place and understanding all that happened, how would you rate the blood flow now, and how is he doing? The doctor looked at her and said, "He's got all the blood he'll ever need." You know, and she just sort of stood there. And then they got ready to leave, and she said, "Well, let me ask you this then. What's his quality of life going to be like?" And the doctor looked at her, and he said, "Look, ma'am, all I did was fix his heart. I can't do anything about his quality of life." You know, it sounds kind of terse and kind of sharp and maybe sarcastic. But when I read that, I stopped and I thought, you know what? That's the honest truth. All the medical world can do and all the doctors can do and all we can do for one another is we might can help somebody. But, you know, only Christ can make that quality of life different. The doctors can't make the quality of life different. That's something Christ does. And so today I encourage you to understand the potential that we have, to understand that personality, that position, and how Christ can make the difference. The question is, are you depending on yourself today? Are you depending on Christ? Are you depending on what God can do in your life? Or are you thinking that what you have done is sufficient? Read again as we look at verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, not rebuilt, not remodeled, not renovated, a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things become new. Today, as we think about this, as we move through this, we think about the new creation. My question for you today is simple. Are you a new creation? Have you tried to remodel yourself? Have you tried to renovate yourself but never allowed Christ to make you a new creation? Do you view things in this world through the old eyes or the new eyes? How are you walking through life, and what difference has Christ made?